Support for the Marketplace Morning Report podcast provided by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
Going to the clink?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. In case you thought it was just American corporate chiefs who've been getting into trouble lately, consider this. Prosecutors are demanding a 6-year prison term for the chairman of the South Korean automaker Hyundai. He's been on trial since June, and his alleged crime? Spending $74 million of the company's money routed to a private slush fund. Let the buyouts begin. Hourly workers at Ford Motor Company are beginning the ends of their careers. Buyout plans are going to affect starting this month. It's not just the people who'll be experiencing change. Consider the small town in northeast Ohio called Brook Park. Here's Mari Saito of WCPN.
As soon as you get off the highway exit for Brook Park, you hit Ford's massive engine and casting plants. They sit just down the road from Mayor Mark Elliott's City Hall office. Since Ford announced its voluntary buyout and early retirement plan, Mayor Elliott has been watching the situation closely.
For years and years now, Ford Motor Company has been the largest employer in the city of Brook Park, largest revenue source for us as far as income tax is concerned. They are these days approximately 35% of our budget. So a reduction in force means less dollars to the community.
Elliott has reason to be nervous. On the last day workers could sign up for the voluntary buyout, he got an email from the United Auto Workers local office. It said nearly half of the plant's 3,000 workers wanted out. That's twice the number he expected.
I would say if there was a number around 700, probably would have been more what we were anticipating. So I was surprised, no question.
If all of those who've signed up for the buyout here in Brook Park leave, it means $2 million less in annual income tax revenue. That's 10% of the city's annual budget.
We, in reality, have everything on the table. We will take a look at everything and see what we can do.
It's a scene being repeated in towns home to Ford plants around the country. University of Michigan economist Don Grimes says whether workers will stay after the buyout is a wild card for local officials.
And that's probably the great unknown for people who are trying to do the budget projections, whether they take their retirement package or their buyout package and stay in a local area, or whether they pack up and move to another state or another town.
Workers who've committed to the buyout have until the last day of their employment to back out. Tim Levandusky heads the United Auto Workers local in Brook Park. He says as many as 40% of the local Ford workers who've signed up are using it as a backup plan.
Well, just in case something happens, Ford makes another announcement.
How many Ford workers will really take the buyout won't be known for months.
That's the one unknown so far that it is difficult. I certainly hope fewer go than, but we don't know that yet.
For now, Mayor Elliott's wooing new employers to his town and preparing to trim his budget. He's eyeballing roads programs and contract talks with city unions as places to save some money. In Cleveland, I'm Mari Saito for Marketplace.
A new survey by a prominent European business school says the world's most innovative nation is the United States. The INSEAD school near Paris reached its conclusion after looking at how well 107 nations come up with ideas. Professor Sumitra Duda teaches business and technology at INSEAD.
What you see is that innovation is more than the creation of new ideas. New ideas need to be translated into value-adding products in the marketplace, and the translation process is something at which the U.S. excels. And at the same time, you see emerging leaders from other parts of the world, Israel, Emirates doing very well, India and China coming up very strong, all the traditional leaders like Japan are also very high up.
Professor Duda also says that while it deserves to be at the top position, the U.S. can't assume it'll be there forever. On Wall Street, markets were closed Monday for the holiday, of course. Today's oil is trading at below $53 a barrel. That's down 13% since just the start of the year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Fellows. Millions of businesses worldwide choose Fellow shredders for their shredding needs. Fellows, for information protection you can depend on. More at Fellows.com.
DVD rental giant Netflix is going digital. Today, they're unveiling a new movie downloading service that'll let you get your movies without the aid of snail mail. The service will roll out over the next 6 months as competing offerings from Apple and Amazon ramp up, too. Next up on Congress's 100-hour agenda, the cost of higher education. Tomorrow, the House is expected to pass a bill that would cut interest rates on student loans. Marketplace's Hillary Wickay has more.
The bill would cut in half the rates on federally subsidized student loans over the next 5 years. It could wind up saving the average borrower about $4,500. Nice, but students graduating tens of thousands of dollars in debt say it's just a first step. Jennifer Pei is the president of the U.S. Students Association. She'd like more grants, some debt forgiveness, and a streamlined and cheaper loan process.
What we're asking for is to ensure that Congress is assessing the real need and the real problems and to look at higher education more comprehensively, because it isn't just student loans. We're talking about the most needy students that are being priced out of higher education.
House Democrats have a plan to cover the $6 billion cost of the interest rate cut. They'll trim subsidies for private sector lenders. That means banks aren't happy. Still, they expect it to pass the House, so bankers plan to make their case later to the Senate. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
History lesson time now with a look into the Marketplace vault.
Prohibition started gaining traction in the U.S. in the early 1800s. Temperance societies became common as people gathered to voice concerns about the effects of drinking. These groups became a formidable political force, and this week, back in 1919, the Prohibition Amendment was added to the Constitution. But coming between Americans and a stiff drink wasn't easy. Authorities had a very hard time stopping the flow of booze into the country, and the ban created a giant cash cow for organized crime. Despite these problems, prohibition limped along for more than a decade, until 1933, when the amendment was repealed.
Plenty to eat and a plenty of gin.
I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
Hey, we're podcasting now. Check out our website, marketplace.org, for details. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
His book was called The Wealth of Nations.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.